Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. Thanks for joining us for another special episode of MW Shares, where we're working to keep listeners up to date on the municipal pandemic response. Jody Johnson, Director of Legal Services for Halton Region, is back with us in the virtual studio for episode 29 in this series, where we're unpacking the latest COVID-19 updates for municipalities. In this episode, we're taking a look back at the year that is almost behind us, the COVID stories that brought us together for this podcast, and the important municipal stories that have kept us going for what is now 29 episodes, plus a look at what's ahead for the holidays and why Santa's been declared an essential service. Welcome, Jody.
I cannot believe we're just about at the end of 2020 and almost in 2021.
I can't believe it either. December 18th, 29 episodes. I want to start by recognizing you on receiving Municipal World's Award of Distinction for a podcast episode for our very first episode. It was, in fact, the most listened to podcast of the year. So congratulations to you and thank you.
Thank you so much. It has been my absolute pleasure to be talking to you throughout COVID. And, you know, when I think back to that first discussion we had and how absolutely overwhelming things felt at that time and things were changing quickly and we were trying to understand, the impact of COVID and understand how to conduct meetings and what that legislative change meant. It was a lot at the time and I'm so happy we were able to help people break down what was going on and what the impacts were. But boy, to think about what we've covered since is amazing.
It has certainly been a wild, wild ride for us in 2020. But it has been a pleasure to continue to unpack these stories with you in these episodes and try and find some meaning and some hope in what's happening and what it means for municipalities across the country.
Well, municipalities have been, been right in the center of everything. Sometimes you see, in our history, different types of emergencies and different types of situation that really impact one level of government more than another, or maybe impacting one community or one geographic area more than others. But this one has really impacted everybody right across the country and at all levels of government. And municipalities have been on the forefront, not just, keeping essential services going and making sure water and wastewater are there, but finding ways to work with businesses that have been impacted, finding ways to continue to provide recreation opportunities, being creative with how people can get out, and not to mention things like the provision of public health public health function and long-term care and EMS and firefighting services. It's impacted everybody.
Every aspect of municipal operations, every aspect of community. And so it's so appropriate that as this year is wrapping up, you and I are going to take a look at some of those stories we've tackled and the ones that have made these talks kind of memorable, and certainly 2020 is one for the books, as they say.
Yes. I'm glad we can still laugh a little bit.
Yes. Let's start off with that first episode and the emergency measures for council meetings. This was pretty groundbreaking stuff when we talked about it back in March.
Well, it was, and for municipalities to consider how they were going to keep meeting, in the time when we were being told don't gather together, don't have people gathering, don't be close, and thinking about the challenges of working with what the Municipal Act, at least in Ontario, had in place at the time, that there were provisions for municipalities to include sections of their procedural bylaws that did permit participation, remote participation, or electronic participation, but the circumstances were very limited, and not a lot of uptake had occurred until that point in time. You couldn't also have a closed meeting in electronic participation. There were limits on the numbers of people that could participate electronically, and we very quickly saw municipalities making amendments to the procedural bylaws, and in some cases that meant going to virtual platforms like Zoom and WebEx and Teams and those kind of things. But for a lot of municipalities, particularly municipalities in rural areas without a lot of perhaps in-house IT resources or without adequate access to broadband, that was an issue to try and figure out very quickly. Could this mean we meet by phone, by conference call? How do we do this? Can we have a couple people in chambers and do things differently? But it really gave that flexibility, and we had to figure out very quickly what that looked like.
And municipalities did indeed figure it out. We saw and continue to see lots of these creative arrangements to fulfill the responsibility for governance and decision making on city issues, and still provide that accountability and transparency that is demanded by public service.
Absolutely, and kudos to the staff members across the country who very quickly figured out how to make it work technologically, who wrote reports to council, who wrote bylaw amendments, and really did it. There was a lot of sharing. There was a lot of cooperation and camaraderie amongst municipal staff members who were trying to really help each other do this.
And really and truly, you know, if you and I had been talking about that at this time last year, or even early going into 2020, we couldn't have imagined that this would even be a possibility for something like this to occur.
No, and in fact, I if I recall correctly, I even wrote an article published in Municipal World about the ability to have remote participation or virtual or electronic participation, and I actually offered a lot of cautions before COVID about how you develop your policy and how it's fair and how you deal with multiple requests. And maybe this, was something you wanted to think really carefully about doing. And boy, in hindsight, I read that and I'm like, what a different world.
Well, it kind of leads to what was our next episode, I think, talking about that kind of a special municipal magic is how we framed it, that keeps essential services going even during a crisis. It's been incredible.
Yeah, and that magic is still there. And I, when we talked about, I call my colleagues the IT rock stars, talking about, how things just magically keep happening, and how people band together and figure things out with an amazing amount of creativity and dedication and hard work. I mean, yes, it's magic.
It looks like magic, but the fact is, there is, as you said, a lot of dedication and hard work, and planning and a thoughtful approach that makes this stuff continue to happen in a way that people can count on. So again, hats off to local governments for that.
Absolutely, and hats off to not just the people doing the day-to-day work on the ground, which is really important, but also to to our CAOs and our city managers and to our councils who've really jumped in and let us move at the pace we've needed to find ways to get this stuff done.
Yeah, it's been a team effort for sure. One of the big topics and early on, a significant one, and again, one that we couldn't have seen coming, work from home, the workplace restrictions that we saw, and the implications for municipalities as employers.
Well, yes, and figuring out
how to sustain that over the amount of time we've had to. I mean, it was in many municipalities, in many respects, it was okay, we're switching to this quickly, but putting policy frameworks in place, thinking about health and safety, thinking about making sure people are okay, how you onboard new recruits during this time. There's a lot that goes into thinking about that, and we've seen municipalities doing things very creatively. We've also seen municipalities, you know, looking at their space and accommodation requirements. We've talked about that a couple of times. There are a lot of implications as employers, and it's again been an adventure, and been a lot of people sharing ideas. And sharing best practices and figuring out how to do this for much longer than any of us ever thought was going to be happening.
And we, of course, have seen some mass layoffs that were necessary as municipal budgets were stressed, and some of those services, municipal services. Around recreation and so on, were scaled back. But we've also seen some creative alternative work assignments where municipalities put those employees into new roles as a result of the pandemic and what was required.
Yes, there have been some really tough decisions in a lot of places. We've seen obviously a significant change in things like recreation services, social and cultural type community services. Early on, there were transit impacts. Municipal airports have been impacted. So yes, there have been some very, very tough decisions that have had some significant impacts, but yes, also some creativity in some places for redeployments and for different ways of providing services.
One thing that we've talked about a lot throughout this is the impact on, all of us as individuals and certainly municipal employees, managers, working in a very responsible, essential service roles, the impact on mental health, and the need for all of us to pay attention to that and self-care for ourselves and for our families and for our teams that continues to be so important during this time.
It does, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about those issues with me. They're near and dear to my heart, and something that I've been involved with for a long time, but throughout COVID, it's been really important to me to make sure my colleagues and my teams are well and finding ways to take care of themselves. And I think it is so important. And we have seen, again, some creative solutions to that. We've seen some of our outdoor recreation partners being innovative in terms of how they've been able to keep some of those outdoor recreation opportunities available, even with changes. I know we talked about my friends at Conservation Halton here where I live, and how they very quickly went to an online reservation system to try and get some people as soon as it was safe enough to do so, to get people in the parks and those opportunities to get outside. It really is a challenge for us to try to stay well and nurture ourselves and our friends and our colleagues and our families and making sure we're well, but that those touch points are really important. And I urge people to continue to check in with themselves, check in with the people they care about, and really identify opportunities for conversation and for sourcing out resources when required.
Absolutely. In particular, during the upcoming holiday season, always a tough time for some. And with the situation we're in, it's undoubtedly going to be so this year, too. Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Jody Johnson. Each and every month, Municipal World unpacks the issues that impact your community and you. From compelling case studies to new legislation to fresh advice about council staff relations, you'll find insightful articles, exciting features from well-respected columnists like George Cuff and Ashley Whedon, and straightforward facts on real and important matters for local governments. Be in the know and a step ahead of the game. Become a member today. Without further delay, let's jump back into that conversation with Jody. The role of green space that you touched on that there, and an important thing that is that shared resource in our community, something municipalities are responsible for, and in many, many cases through our parks and conservation areas. And this was one of the early struggles was, shutting down these areas to prevent people, because, a lot of unknowns about how the virus spread, what kind of risk people were going to be in on trails and so on. And looking back on that, we know there was a lot of stress around that, a lot of stress for communicators about how to tell people, communicate these new rules around social distancing, educating people about what social distancing meant and what their responsibilities were when using these spaces.
Yeah, it was amazing to see. I recall very early on, we talked about this and people leaving areas that were heavily impacted or where people didn't have a lot of their own outdoor space, flocking to places where they could get outside. We had people from all over lining up outside of the parks. We talked a lot about beaches, and we talked a lot about people heading to other areas of the province that had those amenities available. And it's certainly not been easy. And I think we've worked through it as communities, and we've worked through it as areas, but still certainly some of those tensions out there.
Absolutely. And a variety of approaches being taken by different communities, different provinces, different jurisdictions. So we talked about travel manners, of course, when you're going to these places, how important is this new new term, perhaps, or new meaning during the pandemic, when travel has, in many cases, been discouraged, in some cases prohibited, but we saw some opening up during certain periods, but always with this caveat that, we need to practice our travel manners.
Yes, we do. And that continues through the winter months as people try to get out and enjoy the outdoors. We've seen lots of creative things with, drive-through light displays and different types of drive-through activities or different types of ways for people to get out. And if you're going to leave your area and go take in some of these amenities, please, again, do so responsibly and mind your travel manners.
Now, one of the most critical topics of the year related to COVID, and certainly early on, we weren't sure how long this was going to last. I think certainly nobody in the early days anticipated it was going to last this long, but it soon became apparent that it was going to be with us for quite a while, and the impacts on municipalities financially. Still unknown what the final cost is going to be, but a lot of work done early on by FCM and member municipalities to gather data about what was happening, what those financial impacts were, and put the financial crisis for local governments into some perspective and make what we now can, call, I think, a successful call for provincial and federal aid.
For sure. And I think that can't be understated, the importance of the work done by FCM and by the provincial municipal associations and the advocacy work that went to making sure that municipal voice was heard at the provincial and federal level, and that there was an understanding of the need for working together on this issue. And we saw
some success with that. And even recently as this week in Ontario, the province has rolled out an additional $695 million for financial relief for municipalities. Primarily, I think, to help ensure there's not going to be any operating deficits rolling into 2021 to deal with COVID-related expenses that were not planned and budgeted for at the beginning of this year. And it's so important. We've seen a lot of funding come, for example, through for housing, for emergency shelter and social service relief. And that, I think, is important to continue that conversation. I think we're going to see continued pressures in the 2021 budget year. We're going to see, we don't know yet what the financial impact of municipal participation in vaccine rollouts going to be, what those costs might look like, what the impacts on tax base are going to be if seeing what's happening with the business community and in business recovery. So a lot of things there to keep an eye on.
And as you said, that's it's not over yet. So we can look for more stories on that heading into the new year and as municipalities grapple with the impacts on their budgets. Now we can't have a discussion about 2020 without talking about our, I'm going to call it our hot button issue of the year, masks.
Oh, yes. Yes, masks masks have been an issue. We've heard from the beginning of COVID that wearing a mask is one of the best protective measures we can take. And we've heard explanations of, you know, why that's important. And there has been a lot of embracing of it. But boy, it's not been an easy road in a lot of places. We've had, you have municipalities early on taking on the consideration of bylaws requiring the mandatory use of masks in certain public places. We've seen a real difference in timeline of provinces addressing this issue. We've seen protests and anti-mask movements. We've seen all kinds of things. And it's, yes, a hot button issue is the way to describe it.
It was certainly, and I suppose it continues to be a political hot potato to some extent, because, it is, it seems more controversial in some communities than in others, but there was a reluctance early on to mandate this, to require people. We've tried all kinds of approaches, from modeling good behavior of wearing masks to, strongly encouraging. But in the end, even in, I think, perhaps the last holdout, which was BC, it's been required now in indoor spaces as the science has become very compelling about how effective masks can be in protecting and learning more about how the virus has spread. So it's been an issue for municipalities. Municipalities, in many cases, were the first to step into the fire and require them for the protection of the community. And the enforcement around this has become something municipalities are more and more active in every day, it seems.
It has been, and it's been an issue. Enforcement certainly has been another controversial kind of issue, and I'm pleased, though, to see in a lot of places masks are more commonplace now. There still are people, for a variety of reasons, who don't wear masks. There are exemptions in most bylaws and in the provincial regulations that I've seen, but it has appeared to have been more embraced. I think masks are going to be with us for some time, and I think certainly throughout 2021. But you raise an important point about enforcement and not just enforcement of mask requirements, enforcement generally, enforcement of social distance limits, enforcement of gatherings, enforcement in respect of businesses and numbers of people and closures and when things can be open. And we talked early on about enforcement being a challenge. I think it still continues to be a challenge. And it's one we're, again, another one we're going to keep an eye on early into next year.
We've also had the chance to talk about some fun things this year, and some of the interesting, strange trends. Early on, it was toilet paper, but we saw the list of hot items, hot pandemic items on people's shopping lists kind of evolve over the months.
We sure did. We saw shortages in bicycles. We saw it very hard in the summer months to get supplies for outdoor projects like decks and things like that, wood and even linseed oil for a protection of outdoor wood was hard to buy. We've seen winter sports equipment has now been hard to come by. It's been really amazing to watch, as people realize, hey, there's some things I can really use to get me through this.
That's right. Things I can use at home in my own community when I can't travel.
Yes.
We've also seen, of course, businesses impacted by this in communities, economic development strains as they try to support those communities and businesses and keep them going during this time. So we've seen some changes there too with regulations around patio laws and, opening up onto the sidewalks and some new creative approaches too as municipalities support those businesses in their community.
Yep, even in winter and in winter cities and winter areas, a lot of creativity, and I think we're going to see lots of great ways for people to get outside and still continue to do some of those things this winter.
Well, with the holidays upon us now, it's good to see Santa being recognized as with some of our other holidays, the Easter Bunny and so on, Santa's been recognized as an essential service.
He has, and I've seen a lot of this week. I saw my own municipality where I live, the mayor of Halton Hills tweeted out earlier this week that at Monday's council meeting, council unanimously passed a resolution declaring Santa Claus an essential service. But he also said, we know Santa and Mrs. Claus are immune to COVID, but he does want everyone to practice social distancing, wearing a mask and washing their hands. We've seen this in a lot of municipalities across the country, some of the provinces, even Dr. Pam tweeted the other day about her conversation with Santa. So I'm really pleased for the children that this is happening. And I understand you are going to talk to Santa next week, and I'm going to get my cocoa and be ready to sit and listen in.
Oh, it's going to be one to listen to for sure. Santa will be stopping by to chat about what's on the wish list for CAOs this Christmas. So I hope folks will tune in for that. Santa's got a lot to say.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
So with the new year coming, we'll be back to talk about more, but there's some things on the horizon that people should keep an eye on the future.
Absolutely. We should keep our eye on the money. We should keep our eye on enforcement. We should keep our eye on creative service delivery. And here's a good one. And I know you and I were chatting about this before. We're going to keep an eye on some really interesting things that are going to perhaps start happening in municipalities. The city of Ottawa apparently has a to-do list of implementing several self-cleaning public toilets.
Yes, that's exciting news. The toilets have come up a few times. We talked about porta potties and how essential public washrooms have become during the pandemic. Of course, fears about, the spread of the virus, of course, but how essential it is when we want people to stay outside and stay safe and not gather, that we have some of these available. And so this announcement about Ottawa exploring the self-cleaning public toilets, using some of the COVID-19 funding to do that project, interesting initiative. I expect we'll see more on toilets in 2021.
I think that's something we're going to be talking about. But in the meantime, I hope you have a really healthy and happy holiday. I hope you and your team at Municipal World stay well, and I do look forward to talking to you in the new year.
The same to you, Jody. Same to you and to your team. Happy holidays and all the best for 2021. And thank you for all that you've been able to bring to these conversations, and appreciate your friendship and the talks we've had in 2020. Look forward to unpacking whatever 2021 brings us.
You're certainly welcome, and thank you for inviting me.
Happy holidays. I want to thank Jody Johnson for taking the time to sit down and chat with us, and thank you for listening. If you found the information in today's episode useful, we hope you'll please drop us a note to let us know, or give us a shout on Twitter at Municipal World. Until next time, I'm Susan Gardner. This is MW Shares. Please stay healthy, stay safe.